Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today, your humble host, ready for a new year. I can't wait for 2018. I'm delighted to say that we're going to be talking about women and the global chamber, or better yet, women going international in business. And we have an amazing expert, and I am delighted to introduce our leading lady today, who is Laura Czarnecki, and she is the CEO of Trade Up Fund and the executive director of the Global Chamber, which I had not heard about this chamber, so I'm really excited to hear what she's going to tell us about going international as a business. So, Laura, say hello to all of our listeners, and welcome.
Hi there, everybody. I'm so excited to spend a little bit of time with you today. So this will be fun.
I love when you say hello and you have no idea who you're talking to. It's just like, yes, hello, everyone, right? It's how that works when you're on radio. I love it. Well, thanks for being our leading lady today. And I am just super excited about this, I won't say thing, but it's the global chamber that focuses on international-only business. I mean, what is the kind of mission and purpose of the global chamber?
It is. It's actually a fascinating organization. We were founded about 5 years ago now, and we're based out of Glendale, Arizona. And the whole mission of the organization is to really help organizations go global. So what we've done is we've set up what we call metros, which are regions throughout the world. Our goal is to have over 500 regions by the end of 2020, and we're well on our way there. I believe we're at 320 some odd chapters right now. So basically what happens is somebody comes on in, either they join or they just become an affiliate. And the idea is nowadays so many people start their business and they think, I'm just going to start domestically and then expand on to internationally. And what the Global Chamber does is it really changes that whole mind frame, and it shows entrepreneurs how to go international right from the get-go. So it's for the entrepreneur, but it's also for established businesses. So we have importers and exporters, and so what ultimately the Global Chamber is it's an entire community of people working together to help each other go global.
Can you say that again, just to help each other go global? I mean, I think so many, let me just go here on one moment, because I know our radio show is so focused on women in advancement and women in leadership. And, you know, one of the things I've seen over and over with women is, you know, there are the few women that just think super big and huge and, you know, world domination, right? I love those two words. But then there are some women, sure, at least it seems to be a little bit of a footprint. And I'm wondering if you see this, Laura, that women don't think as big as, let's say, their male counterparts. Do you see that? And
I think.
It just seems so big and vast when you think about going international. What do you see with women on that front?
What a fascinating point you make, and I do see it quite often. I don't know if why that is the case, but I do see it. I have to say, I'm 45 now, and over the last 10 years, I'm happy to say I do see the climate slowly but surely changing. It's not changing fast enough for my own taste, but this up and coming generation is really exciting, and so it's they're embracing it. It's a matter of getting my generation and other generations to and just realize the tools and access to the resources they have, such as the Global Chamber, on such a huge scale. So, yeah, I mean, basically, if you're a small Los Angeles business run by a female, and originally you're thinking of just going domestic, you know, what you can do is you can sit down with the executive director in Los Angeles, which would be myself, and we would show you, we would actually walk you through, you know, some options, maybe three or four options internationally that it might make sense for you to do business in, some different metros, ultimately settling in on, you know, say Dubai, and we'd connect you with our executive director in Dubai and that whole network. And show you, I mean, really A to Z, what needs to be done to start your, you know, or have an arm of your business in this foreign land. It's really fascinating stuff.
Well, I got 10,000 questions for you, and we have a half hour.
Okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? I got to shorten my questions, but I'm dying. Like, this was your baby, right? I mean, was this your brainchild? What was it that prompted you to say, hey, I'm going to go out and start a global chamber? I'm curious, what possessed you to do this?
Sure. Doug Brunke, who is our founder, he actually started the very, very first chapter. I was one of the first people who he came into contact with, and together we altered the whole vision for the organization. That really took on what was exciting is we have equally as many female executive directors as we have male executive directors.
Yay.
And that's something we intentionally went after. Yeah. But part of it was chambers exist all over the world, but there was no global chamber. There was no entity to really help people, again, with the whole concept of going international. Prior to the global chamber starting, if you wanted to do business in, again, Dubai, you were sort of on your own. Finding how to export into the country and what connections to make. And it was a fabulous idea, but what we needed to do was we needed to create the whole infrastructure for the organization. So, just took a heck of a lot of work on our end to find and place the right people all over the world to get this mission accomplished. But we're well on our way.
And I'm dying to know. So you said you've been around for 5 years, which is super exciting.
Right.
So do you actually have an executive director in every major metropolitan area or state, or how are you? I do want to let everybody know if they want to check out the website. It's globalchamber.org. So that works, right? If they want to check out the website, how? Is it an annual fee? Is it like most chambers of commerce that are local, like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce? Are you affiliated with that, or you guys are a whole different ball of wax all your own?
We're a whole different ball of wax. We're on a much, much larger scale. Right now, we have, for the most part, conquered the world. We cover... Yeah, it's very exciting. We have chapters you can take a look on the website, but we have chapters all over the world. The goal is to, like right now, there's a Los Angeles chapter and there's a San Diego chapter. Next step would be an Orange County chapter. So we're getting into smaller regions now, which makes us more agile, I think. And of course we're all the major ports are, because again, you got to think importing and exporting when you think going international.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is a lot of people, when they're coming up with their business plans, they do it from a domestic slant. And the idea is, again, if you're going to have a whole international arm, you need to have several business plans or one big business plan with several different aspects to it, because the whole your whole infrastructure needs to change according to the region in which you're promoting your business, if that makes any sense.
No, it does.
So,
even little things like trademarks. Trademarks are only good for the U.S., and if you're going to do business in other countries, then your trademark wouldn't apply, right? You have to apply for different
exactly.
trademarks and things like that, or what you guys deal with.
Well, yeah, and then I can take for example. I had started a car company before, and that's just a whole.
I can't wait to ask you about that.
Story. No, that's a whole show. Use that as an example. It's an American car company, and it has yet to launch, but we had requests from all over the world for this unique model and for a very unique automobile. And what I had to explain to even our CEO, who's an engineer by trade, if we're going to launch or if we're going to sell the car in Vietnam, that means we actually have to manufacture the car in Vietnam, have to come up with a marketing plan for Vietnam, because Vietnamese people buy cars for very different reasons than American people buy cars. So that's
right.
The kind of the lens that has to be switched. But you want to talk to experts in the region when you're coming up with that business plan. And that's what we have, is we have experts in doing all aspects of business in all of the different regions throughout the world, who speak multiple languages, who can walk an entrepreneur through this process.
I've got some questions too for just our listeners who are, let's say, business owners now, and we have quite a few women, obviously, who are listeners to Women Lead Radio. Laura, do you find that most people come into the Global Chamber and they're startups, or is it for existing businesses, or both? I'm curious how you mostly see people coming to the Chamber. Like those that come in as new members, what's kind of the footprint or demographics of your membership, if you can share?
We have everybody. It's probably very, very well balanced. So in the Los Angeles region, we have thousands of members, and it's a combination. So we have everything from, women who have their jewelry businesses out of their homes to one of the largest exporting company on the West Coast of the United States as a member. We have big banks. We have regional banks. We have, smaller venture capital funds. I'm just using the United States as an example of the range of businesses that we have coming on into us. It's very, very interesting stuff. But we have people who are parts of incubators and trying to grow their business. But with those people, we focus on different things with smaller entrepreneurs versus, obviously established businesses. For the point of this show, for the, the female entrepreneur who is just starting out and, again, typically is thinking domestically only, what we would do is the local executive director would sit down with you, take a look at your business model, and we would really pinpoint a few regions around the world where it probably makes the most sense for you to possibly either primarily launch your business or to, launch in the United States and somewhere foreignly. We'd go through the pros and the cons of that region. And then we'd actually sit down with the executive director in the other region, and we'd go over all of the details that this person would need to think through in order to really start doing business there. It's fascinating. But what's so cool about it is a lot of the times the financial potential for an entrepreneur is tenfold going international versus just staying domestic. From that front, we really look at, especially if money is an objective, which in a lot of the times it is.
Most of the time it is.
I mean, just to be realistic. And so we'll show you, if margins in the tax benefits and consequences of doing business. Actually, right now in Europe are outstanding. So, you know, in comparison to a lot of the United States. So it's a no-brainer, especially if you're a smaller business and you manufacture something even. To outsource your product to, Germany in particular right now, have your product made in Germany and sold in Germany and a lot cheaper and more affordable than one might think.
I'm kind of wanting our listeners to know about the process. So somebody comes on board, I'm assuming they join as a member, and then once they're a member, do they get access to every region? I mean, or is it a consult that you have as the executive director? Tell me how it works once you become a member, if you're somebody who is a domestic business owner, not even knowing whether international is for you. What would be maybe, things that the Global Chamber could do for them because you're a member anywhere, is that right? Or tell me how membership
works. Of course, yes. Well, you're primarily a member in your region, and the benefit of that in your metro. So if you're Los Angeles, that is your home metro. And what we have so many members, to be honest with you, right now worldwide, it would be crazy if we put everybody into one room together. So what we've done is we've really narrowed down, and we try to keep people local. So we have local events, and it's a tremendous opportunity to get to know just everybody within your region who can help you if you want to stay very, very local and launch your business on that front. But back to the membership, to answer your question there, what we'll do is we'll really sit down with you and help you decide, first of all, does membership make sense for me? Or maybe it's not a membership, maybe it's a partnership. We partner with universities and different types of organizations. So we have different types of partnerships, I guess I should call them. But membership is the main way to go. And it's all according to size. So if you're, 1 to 20 employees versus 21 to 50 employees, we have different tiers of membership. Both tiers will get you same level of access to our resources nationwide, or worldwide rather. But we really right now we're just doing it by organization size. And what you can do and what that does also is just by putting your logo on our page, it gets you out and in front of so many people because we get our website gets so much traffic every day. But we promote, we actively promote your business. For the most part, worldwide. But you really get to pick and choose where you want your business promoted. I mean, that's a big thing we do is the marketing. We really, really help with the marketing of your product in certain regions throughout the world, depending upon what makes the most sense. But we sit down with you and we figure out what package makes the most sense, where it makes the most sense for you to launch your business worldwide, what the timeline looks like, what the game plan looks like. A lot of women have never even thought of sitting down and writing a business plan. So we'll even help with that if somebody has an idea. We are a basketful of resources. We want it to become known as. Yeah.
So as an example, if you can think of a woman-owned business, it's like, is there an example of, without maybe if you can't tell who they are, but give us an example of a woman-owned business that, came to the Global Chamber, they became a member, and how did you open doors or, provide opportunity to them? Do you have like a success story or something that our listeners might be able to?
Actually.
I'd love to hear that. Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Sure. There was a woman who actually did a presentation for Port of Los Angeles. And she had this idea, as she and her husband actually, but it was primarily her idea. She was the engineer. It was, if you can picture, it was a wand beam that stewardesses would actually go into airplanes, take this wand in between different flights, and they would scan the wands all over the different rows and to disinfect everything, rather than them scrubbing down and whatever. Because we know, we've all heard the horror stories of the germs on an airplane. And so this tool actually, it was a phenomenal tool. I mean, it killed like 99.9% of all germs in airplanes. And we helped them. Actually, they chose not to go to American Airlines. They actually launched down in Brazil. And that made the most sense for them, simply because, and it's funny because Brazil obviously doesn't have the world. They're not known for the world's best tax benefits or anything along those lines. But the airlines and our connections in Brazil made it possible for this company to actually launch their product down there. And it's well on its way to word of mouth has gotten back to American Airlines and United and Delta. So they're all
now they want
testing the product now.
Wow.
But it's a women-owned organization.
That's a pretty cool
my point.
Story. I love
that.
I would think so. And I'm, great story. And I'm curious because, there's so much focus for women-owned businesses and minority-owned and veteran-owned to go through this process of getting certified. Does it make any sense for someone doing international business, whether they are or are not certified in the States? Does that help them? Does it not matter? I'm curious what your thoughts are on that.
We
help with
that process.
I know a lot of women-owned businesses. Oh, you do? You help them become certified internationally?
Of course.
There's opportunities there?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I did not know that. Oh, my gosh.
We help from the ground up with anything you would need to know to do business in any land around the world. So anything from getting the equivalent of a patent or, certified or to become a legitimate business in some of these lands. It actually, what a lot of people don't realize is as long as you are willing to manufacture in whatever region of the world that you want to do business in, a lot of doors open for you. One of the problems is a lot of initial entrepreneurs think, oh, I'm going to keep everything local, and it is it's wonderful in concept. However, the benefits of doing business in a certain region and then the profit margins are so much greater if you actually manufacture and right there on site. I can't emphasize that enough. You're exporting the idea and the concept, and then you can export the tooling as well. But the actual product needs to be put together in whatever land that you're doing business in.
And I know you're bringing up products, but can people that are service-based businesses benefit from going global as well? Like I know a lot of speakers, a lot of people that are service providers. Are there opportunities for them to go international and global as well?
Oh, and actually that's another world that I've been in, especially the training space and some of these international
speakers. You're getting me excited, Laura. This is exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's so cool.
Oh, my gosh.
No, we've brought some of the best speakers, especially in the automotive space, from a very Americanized platform to Russia, to Japan. So what's so interesting, though, is, again, like different people buy, for example, cars for different reasons in Russia than they do in the United States. The whole automotive model is very, very different. So what we would do is, if you're a speaker, we walk you through how to change your pitch, how to change your playbook. For your service, how to customize your service for the region you want to go into. And it's a phenomenal way for these service providers to expand their business. But again, most of them don't have the resources to know, what Japanese people want, what Arabic speaking nations want. And we have the know-how and the people who will sit down with, say a trainer and walk them through exactly, what the populace looks like and what the demand is. We do it all simply because, we have so many now deep connections in each region. So it's quite interesting.
Well, it sounds like you know a lot, and you keep talking about this car business. I want to have you come back again because you're launching something new in 2019, so my notes tell me. But
tell
our listeners what was your background. I mean, I kind of looked at you, and I could share what I saw online and from our conversation. But what is your background, and what's your passion for this, piece to help entrepreneurs go international?
Well, that is my passion. Thank you for asking. it is helping women, entrepreneurs in particular, simply because I've never been the idea person myself. I'm always the doer. I admire people who have fantastic ideas. I like helping them make their ideas happen. And so I try to go and find some really outstanding ideas like the Global Chamber, like Yo-Yo Motors, and help them, become the organizations are fulfilling their potential for the most part. And one of the things that I noticed was so many people, just such a narrow focus. Everything was, especially when I got out of college, everything was so domestically focused and really, really saw the potential in especially with the emergence of technology and the world becoming so much smaller, saw the potential in doing business around the world with the ease that it's done, domestically. So that's, again, just to get back to the Global Chamber, that's why I think it's such a phenomenal organization, because if you go to the membership page and you look at the membership fees, for such a modest fee, the services are worth thousandsfold of what you would do if you were to try to piece together all of the resources yourself. It would be nearly impossible to do. That's my passion. I love finding new resources and putting expanding on existing ideas but the women entrepreneurs is, I love mentoring young women and mentoring businesses Yeah, I could go on and on, but
very cool. No, I can hear your passion in your voice, which I love. That tells me a lot about you. And Laura, I want to make sure if any of our listeners want to connect with you, I know I shared the website globalchamber.org. Do you have if somebody wants to reach you directly, how would you recommend you want to be, connected to, if you want to share with our listeners how if they're interested?
Sure. Easiest way to find me is probably via LinkedIn. Just connect to me there. Because I'm very, very active in the community. Actually next year I'm traveling and talking in several locales around the world. So I'd love to have who's ever listening attend some of the international conferences that promote women in business. Especially any entrepreneurs looking for some insight on how to grow their businesses. So that'd be great.
I think you'll have some interest. We're national in scope as well. And so I just want to say, again, it's like, thank you for being our leading lady. But I give you a challenging question to every one of my guests. And that is, leave me with something inspiring. I just think you're very motivating. And I love what the Global Chamber's on about. But if you can just have a couple of final words, what would you want to share with our listeners? Because we're almost out of time. And I hate that. I want to have you back. But what can you leave us with that will inspire us?
Oh, go international. Please, please. I can't. If I could, if there's any doubts whatsoever, It is the smartest thing to do. And don't wait. Do it right now. Don't wait until you're up and running in the United States and you have income coming in. Please explore your options on an international basis right from the get-go, because I promise you, you will be amazed at the income potential, how you will make people happy in these different regions by providing your products and services.
Wow.
People love American products and services. It's just the market is, the opportunity is just, it's endless right now. So,
You inspired me. I want to say thank you. Thank you for being our leading lady. I can't wait to meet you actually in person one of these days. And to all of our listeners, you know, we will make that happen. You know, check out globalchamber.org. Laura, you're awesome and amazing, and I wish you a happy new year. And happy new year to all of our listeners. You know, we're here every Friday at 2 p.m. and Mondays at 9 a.m., except for this Monday. It's New Year's Day, so I hope all of you we'll be celebrating with family and friends. And for those of our listeners that are here, know that my challenge to all of you that listen in to us is, what are you doing to empower and support other women? You know, join us, listen to us, and be a collaborative champion of women's advancement. That's what we're all about. All right. We will see you back again on the next Women Lead Radio Show next Friday. So happy new year.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.